Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I still am kind of laid up with this broken leg. I hope to get over that soon. Anyhow, I wanted to talk today about how a shepherd takes care of his sheep. In John chapter 10, 27 through 29, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." When I was a teenager, I got a job one summer picking up the hardware from a lead for discontinued phone lines between Walla Walla and Wallula, Washington. I wasn't paid anything, but I got to keep all that I picked up and got to sell it to junk dealers. I picked up things like cross arms and insulators and the metal parts that were there holding the cross arms on, the straps and things like that. Well, I was warned not to frighten the sheep. When I went across some place where there were sheep, I was told that sheep frighten very easily. They have weak hearts and they could easily die of a heart attack if you frighten them too badly. I can remember when I was in Nampa, Idaho, I was driving school bus, and one day somebody brought in a whole truck full of dead sheep that had been in the back of a big semi, and they had been frozen, and they were all dead. You know, sheep are helpless without a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. They're not like a cat or a dog. They can't survive on their own. Without the shepherd, the sheep would starve. Ezekiel 34, 2 and 3 says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, do not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep." Then without a shepherd, the sheep scatter. Ezekiel 34, 5 and 6, "So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." Or without a shepherd, the sheep suffer. Ezekiel 34, 4, "The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." Ezekiel 34, 8 says, "As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed the sheep." You know, the work of the shepherd for the sheep is like taking care of little children. I want you to notice that the shepherd shepherds the sheep. 1 Peter 5:2, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." The shepherd loves the sheep. And John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And John 15:13-14, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Then the shepherd leads the sheep. He knows where to go. The sheep have no idea, so he leads them and they follow. John 10:4, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Learning the sheep, the shepherd learns about the individual sheep. He knows their personalities. He says in John 10:14-15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, the shepherd learns to know his individual sheep. He knows their quirks. He knows what scares them. He knows their needs. He knows how to get them cared for. And like I said, the shepherd secures his sheep. John 10:27-29 again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Well, you know, there are qualifications for his protection. I was thinking just how God compared us to sheep. Sheep are dumb. And I sometimes wonder why he called us sheep, but I guess because if you watch how people act sometimes, we act like dumb sheep. At least he didn't call us turkeys. You know, in order to have his protection, we must hear him and follow him. My daughter Kim and her husband Anthony told me that they had gone one time to a sheep ranch in Tennessee. And they were impressed at how the sheep responded to the shepherd, the rancher there. When he came out of the building and called them, the whole flock would run to him because they recognized his voice. They would follow him as he moved around the ranch. If a sheep wasn't in hearing distance, though, it wouldn't run towards the shepherd when he called. It wouldn't be able to hear, and so it wouldn't know he was calling them, and it would be in danger of meeting a predator. What a lesson for us. If we aren't living close to our shepherd, we will not hear his voice, and we will be in jeopardy of being attacked by the predator of our soul. Securing the sheep involves a sheepfold that's secure. In John 10:1, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. See, they used to build a wall-like enclosure without a gate. Where the gate was being, it would be open, and at night the shepherd would sleep at the opening because he was the gate. No wolves, no coyotes, no lions will get past the shepherd without his notice. So in the sheepfold, I see here the wisdom of God. God puts us there, and Jesus Christ watches over us. Securing the sheep includes a staff that's strong. Psalm 23:4 said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A staff is a sturdy weapon. It's not a flimsy stick. It must be able to kill snakes and to ward off wolves and handle any of the dangers that come. You know, the sheep find comfort in seeing the staff. They might be far back in the flock, maybe not able to see the shepherd himself, but they can see the staff up above his head, and as long as they see it, they know the shepherd is nearby. In the Old Testament, God used a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire to assure the Israelites that he was there. In the staff, I see the word of God. The Bible is a weapon that teaches us to survive. It's like having, you know, people say, well, I'm pretty safe because I have a gun on my table, and if anybody tries to bother me, I've got a gun. Well, if I don't know how to use it, the gun offers me no protection. I must know how to use it. David had a sling that was strong and accurate in 1 Samuel 17:40. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones for the brook, and they put him in a shepherd's pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. David used his sling to kill threatening animals and strike down giant problems. David, though, had to keep in practice to know how to use that sling. Back to the idea of the gun, if I don't know how to use it, it's not going to offer me any kind of protection. We must keep in practice to learn how to use our defensive weapons, which would be God's Word, the Bible. In Ephesians 6:11-18, Paul tells us about how to use these things. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole army of God, that you may be the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. You know, the Bible is given to us as a defensive weapon and as an offensive weapon. The Bible also gives us light to illuminate the darkness in our lives. Then the shepherd saves his sheep. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. You know, it talks about how the shepherd takes care of his sheep and saves them from danger. Saving the sheep involves being involved in the lives of the sheep. In order to protect his sheep, he must be always there and always available. But I want you to know Jesus is always there. He promised that he would never leave us or forsake us, and he's always available. And all I need to do is cry out to him, and God will meet my needs. Marty, when we were living in Stevenson, Washington, one night she woke up and she was in horrible pain. And we didn't know. We thought maybe she was having a heart attack or something else. And so I quickly got the car. We put her in the car and we drove from Stevenson to the little hospital over in White Salmon, Washington. We knew even at that hour there would be someone there available to render care for her. The hospital was always open to desperate people in need. Well, you know that no matter what time it is or how desperate you need, Jesus is always available. Jesus has the answer for your problem. The passengers on the bus watched sympathetically as the attractive young woman with the white cane made her way carefully up the steps. She paid the driver, and using her hands to feel the location of the seats, she walked down the aisle and found the seat he had told her was empty. Then she settled in, placed her briefcase on her lap, and rested her cane against her leg. It had been a year since Susan, aged 34, became blind. Due to a medical misdiagnosis, she'd been rendered sightless. She was thrown into a world of darkness, anger, frustration, and self-pity. Once a fiercely independent woman, Susan now felt condemned by this terrible twist of fate to become a powerless, helpless burden on everyone around her. How could this have happened to me? She'd plead with God, and she was knotted with anger. No matter how much she cried or ranted or prayed, she knew the painful truth. Her sight was never going to return. A cloud of depression hung over Susan. Just getting through each day was an exercise in frustration and exhaustion. All she had to cling to was her husband, Mark. And Mark was an Air Force officer, and he loved Susan with all his heart. When she first lost her sight, he watched her sink in despair and was determined to help his wife gain the strength and confidence that she needed to become independent again. Mark's military background had trained him to deal with sensitive situations, and he knew this was the most difficult battle that he would ever have to face. Finally, Susan felt ready to return to her job, but how would she get there? She used to take the bus, but was now too frightened to get around the city by herself. Mark volunteered to drive her to work each day, but even at that, they worked at opposite ends of the city. At first, this comforted Susan and fulfilled Mark's need to protect his blind wife, who was so insecure about performing the slightest task. Soon, however, both began to realize this arrangement wasn't working. It was hectic and costly, and Susan was going to have to start taking the bus again. Mark admitted that it had to be done, but he thought the thought of mentioning it to her made him cringe. She was so fragile, so angry. How would she react? Susan was horrified at the idea of taking the bus again. "I'm blind," she responded bitterly. "How am I supposed to know where I'm going? I feel like you're abandoning me, Mark." Well, it broke Mark's heart to hear these words, but he knew what he had to do. He knew it had to be done. He promised Susan that each morning and evening he'd ride the bus with her for as long as it took until she got the hang of it. Well, that's exactly what happened. For 2 weeks, Mark, military uniform and all, accompanied Susan to and from work each day. He taught her to rely on other senses, specifically her hearing, to determine where she was and how to adapt to her new environment. He helped her befriend the bus drivers who could watch out for her and save her a seat. He made her laugh even on those not so good days when she would trip exiting the bus or drop her briefcase. Each morning they made a journey together, and Mark would take a cab back to his office. Although this was routine, it was even more costly and exhausting than the previous one. Mark knew it was only a matter of time before Susan could ride the bus on her own. He believed in her. In the Susan he used to know before she'd lost her sight, who wasn't afraid of any challenge and who'd never, ever quit. Finally, Susan decided she was ready to try the trip on her own. Monday morning arrived, and before she left, she threw her arms around Mark, her temporary bus-riding companion, her husband, and her best friend. Her eyes filled with tears of gratitude for his loyalty, for his patience, for his love. She said goodbye, and for the first time, they went their separate ways. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, each day on her own went perfectly well, and Susan had never felt better. She was doing it. She was going to work all by herself. Friday morning, Susan took the bus to work as usual. As she was paying for her fare to exit the bus, the driver said, "Boy, I sure envy you." Susan wasn't sure if the driver was speaking to her or not. After all, who on earth would envy a blind woman who had struggled just to find the courage to live for the past year? Curious, she asked, "Why do you say that, you envy me?" The driver responded, "It must feel good to be taken care of and protected like you are." Well, Susan had no idea what the driver was talking about and asked again, "What do you mean?" The driver answered, "You know, every morning for the past week, a fine-looking gentleman in a military uniform has been standing across the corner watching you when you get off the bus. He makes sure you cross the street safely, and he watches you until you enter your office building. Then he blows you a kiss, gives you a little salute, and walks away. You're one lucky lady." While tears of happiness poured down Susan's cheeks. Even when she couldn't physically see him, she always felt that Mark was there somehow. She felt so blessed. He'd given her a gift, meaning more powerful than sight, a gift she didn't need to see to believe, the gift of love that can bring light where there'd been darkness. You know, God watches over us in just the same way. We may not always know he's present, but he is. We may not be able to see his face, but he's there nonetheless. God loves you even when you're not looking for him. The shepherd is interested in the life of his sheep. The shepherd is the most important being in the life of his sheep, And I would say this, Jesus needs to be the most important part of your life to, if you're going to find fulfillment too. We are created with an empty niche in our heart that only God can fill. And I would suggest to you, if you want to find what God's purpose for you is, and you want to find complete satisfaction and fulfillment in knowing that you're okay, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't know Him, won't you confess your sins to Him today and invite Him to be your Savior? Dear Jesus, thank You for being the Good Shepherd that takes care of us. Thank You, Lord, that You're always there, that no matter what we face, You're there with us, and You give us strength for our days. And I'd pray that each one that's listening to this broadcast today will find You as their personal Savior and their Shepherd for their life, and be able to know that You promised one day You're going to take us to be with You in that giant field of heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know how to get a hold of me. Email or Gmail is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. My phone number is 623-845-2741. If you want to text me or if you want to call me, I'll gladly respond if I can. And also, you can write to me if you want to at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Thank you so much for listening. And I'm just praying that you will have the time and purpose to find the Good Shepherd in your own life. God bless.